Annie Sullivan didn't think of herself as a miracle worker. She wanted people to know it took long, hard hours of work to tame and teach deaf, blind, mute Helen Keller. By 1911, Helen had graduated from Radcliffe College and become a famous spokeswoman for blind, deaf people, yet Annie insisted there were no miracles involved. Annie remembers their first meeting, when she arrived in Alabama at 20, newly graduated from Boston's Perkins Institute for the Blind.
I'd expected to see a pale and delicate child, but there was nothing pale or delicate about Helen. She was tall and strong for her age, and she moved like a young colt. She'd let no one even touch her, except her mother, and it was clear no one had ever even tried to control her. Her kicking and the unearthly sound of her tantrums terrorized the family. I knew how to teach her. I knew how to spell the manual alphabet into her hand. But seeing that rage, I suddenly realized, what would my fingers dancing in her hand mean to her? She's totally cut off. She lives in a world all by herself. She doesn't even know what words are, nor that we use them to connect. Then I remembered she'd been so curious, she'd nearly run me down when we met. She wants to know everything that's happening. If I can teach her that everything has a name, that K-E-Y stands for a key, she will learn that words stand for something else. If I can help her connect my dancing fingers with what she wants to know, she will sense that she can move her fingers to ask questions. Oh, there'll be no shortcuts. I will just have to keep spelling names into her hand, despite the tantrums, until she realizes that my dancing fingers are telling her what she wants to know. And then a new question came to me. How can I teach her, unless she'll mind me? And how can I make her mind without breaking her spirit? Is her curiosity stronger than her anger and impatience? I decided. I shall go slowly at first and give her lots of love, and I will not use force unless it is absolutely necessary. But I will expect some obedience right from the first. This might take a while. I wondered if I could do it. And then I remembered I had to do it. There were no other jobs for an Irish girl like me. Nobody wanted an Irish maid with poor eyes and an education. And I couldn't go back to Perkins. I'd graduated. There was no other place for me but the poorhouse. No, that was impossible. Captain Keller's letter, seeking someone to teach his deaf, blind, unruly little girl to communicate, had seemed the answer to my prayers. It had taken the teachers at Perkins 6 months to show me how to teach a blind, deaf, mute. And I arrived in Alabama in late February 1887. My trunk arrived the day after I did, and Helen helped me unpack. She was delighted to find the doll the little girls from Perkins had sent her, and was about to give it to her when I thought, aha, now's the time to teach her her first word. So I spelled D-O-L-L into her hand, and she seemed puzzled. Well, guiding her hand to my head, I nodded, her sign for possession, and spelled it again. Well, quick as a wink, she spelled D-O-L-L back to me. Good, I thought, she's a mimic. However, I sensed she'd made no connection between the doll and my moving fingers. And I thought, I'll spell the word out again. I tried to take the doll away from her, but she held on, kicking and making that sound. The more I tried to spell, the angrier she got. I had an idea. With the doll under my arm, I ran to the kitchen for a piece of cake, and then, holding it before her, I let her smell it and touch it. She grabbed for it. I pulled it away and spelled C-A-K-E into her hand. She imitated me, spelling the letters right back, right away. And I sensed she'd still made no connection between the finger spelling and the cake, but I gave her the cake anyway. She gobbled it down in a great hurry. I suppose she thought I'd take it away again. Then I held the doll in front of her, just as I'd held the cake, and I let her touch it. She tried to grab it. I pulled it away and spelled D-O-L-L into her hand again. There was a long pause. Then, very slowly, she spelled D-O-L into my hand. I waited for the second L, and I waited, and I waited. It did not come. Finally, I gave up. Enough for one day. I spelled the second L and gave her the doll. She ran downstairs with it and would not return to my room the rest of the day. My first lesson. A week later, I wrote to my house mother at Perkins. I am still having considerable trouble with Helen. I may just lose this job. To get her to do certain things, such as comb her hair, wash her face, or button her boots, I've had to use force. Captain and Mrs. Keller cannot stand to see their poor, afflicted little girl made to do anything against her will. And the rest of the family all think of her as a poor little thing, and they give in to her every tantrum. The child has no need to learn a thing. She has only to kick and scream, and she gets what she wants. This morning, Helen and I had a battle royal at breakfast. She has the dismaying habit of eating her own food with her hands and then walking around the table, grabbing food she likes from the plates of others. When I refused to let her eat from my plate, she started a tantrum. I turned to the family and smiled as best I could. It may be painful for all of us until Helen learns she cannot always have everything her way. And mercifully they left the room. It took 3 hours, and I have lost a tooth in the process. But Helen now knows that she has to sit at her own place and use a fork and a napkin.